time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, yesterday on Abounding Grace, we picked up in Matthew chapter 24 with this text. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." And I said yesterday, it's easy to read these things and think, these are the signs of the end. And therefore, if we can sort of pinpoint one of these things that causes a natural disaster, maybe that will trigger Christ's second coming. And I said yesterday, you remember, people are just filled with awe and imagination for a certain minister or an evangelist or anyone out there who strives to show his audience that a certain battle or earthquake or devastating famine or the drying up of a sea or whatever is the sign of Christ's coming. And it's this sort of stuff that Jesus said, do not be alarmed. These are not the sort of things that will produce the second coming. And I said yesterday, we have to remember what the disciples asked. Remember, there are two questions highlighted at the very beginning. When will these things be? They're reacting there to what Jesus said. These stones, not one will be left upon another. So the first part of that question is dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem. But then the second part, when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age, is an entirely different issue. Jesus is going to teach them with sort of a different pattern here, that he's going to answer both these questions, but doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to happen at the same time. And that's what he's clarifying to his disciples. Actually, there's going to be a great interval of time between these two things, the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the age and his second coming. So we have to remember what the disciples asked. What is the sign, singular, of your coming? And Jesus answers that later in the passage. There is a sign, but it's not the kind of things that we can expect. So yesterday, he was calming down. We consider Jesus is calming down his disciples because of their fear of losing Jerusalem. And that, of course, is the main motivation here in the beginning part of Matthew chapter 24, is to calm us down. And Jesus is telling us and giving us so much detail here so that we are not troubled by what is going to come to pass. He is comforting the Christian. We see terrible atrocities in the world. We wonder how Jesus could say, "Do not be alarmed," because that's what he says. He speaks of many false Christs who will rise up and deceive many, and we've witnessed that throughout the Christian church and throughout this age. We've heard and we've seen things. I remember years ago, the David Koresh and the Davidian compound. People like this who have claimed to be Christ. But of course, it doesn't have to solely come from one man. Even the cults have a different Christ than we do and are deceiving many. The modern evangelical movement has many workers of Satan at its head, as 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says. And there are many false teachers out there with a health and wealth message, deceiving people with a message that Jesus has not spoken and are leading people right into hell. And friends, it's painful when you see a loved one being carried away into a cult, deceived by falsehood, into a Christianity that has a form of godliness but denies its power. That is exactly what happens when people without conviction, who have no clue as to what they believe, fall into these sort of things. Maybe some of you know people who have followed after these things. It's like watching people jump off a cliff. And yet Jesus says, don't be alarmed. These things must happen. Why? to set the world on edge, to turn to him, but the end is not yet. He speaks of wars and rumors of wars. One author has counted 300 wars in Europe in the last 300 years, and we all know that many die terrible, terrible deaths in wars. War's scary because we don't know the outcome. We read today that a single bomb could take out a city. We read of famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and we know how devastating these things can be. We think of years ago, the bubonic plague in Europe that killed, when it was all said and done, some 25 million in just 5 years, one-third of Europe's entire population. Do you think they thought it was the end? I would imagine. On November 1, 1755, 60,000 in a minute perished in an earthquake in Lisbon, Portugal. In 1783, 30,000 in the Calabrian earthquake. And we could go on. How many washed away in the tsunamis that we saw? And war. Many of you remember the terrible things that happened in Germany. Then people thought that the Antichrist was coming at that time. But what Jesus is saying here, it's a simple message for us to hear. See to it that you are not troubled. Calm down. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And what an important message here when we are in war in the U.S. Right now, all these things going on and all the horrible atrocities and the evil we see in the world, and it just seems like things are out of control, and who's really watching over all this? Jesus is in control, and he says, see to it that you are not troubled. These are not signs, but characteristic of this entire evil age in which we live. The time from when Jesus said these things until his second coming. Now, the last thing we want to do is downplay the seriousness of this. Could it be that there will be an intensification of these things as we draw close to the end? The text seems to teach this in light of the fact that Christ likens all of these things to sorrows, or more literally, from the Greek, birth pains. Interesting that he uses birth pains, isn't it? The Old Testament people of God suffered for the waiting of the Messiah as a woman in labor. The labor became so bad before Christ came. The persecution was so bad that Rachel, we come to in Matthew chapter 2, was weeping for her children. A terrible labor. And here Christ seems to make a similar comparison. In waiting for his second coming, the woman will go through the same labor pains. These things are painful. But as time goes, just like when a woman is going to give birth, just before this happens, the pains intensify. So too, just before Christ comes, we may and most likely will see a greater intensification of these things that are rehearsed in verses 4 through 14. And so with verses 4 through 8, Christ is simply saying these things mark the beginning, but not the end. They tell us that he is going to come again, and that he is setting on the world on edge, but they do not signal when. And that's why it's always dangerous for anyone to predict a date. Christ said, no one knows the day nor the hour. Let me give you a powerful example to clarify Jesus' message here. In 1939, Donald Gray Barnhouse, who was a well-known pastor, was asked to be in Belfast on a certain Saturday night to preach at one of the largest churches in Ireland. But he had a free week in between, so he decided to go to France to visit his family. Well, Hitler had invaded Danzig by this time, but the possibility of war seemed somewhat remote. Well, sure enough, Europe was in chaos. And not being able to travel back, Barnhouse had to take many alternate routes to get to Belfast by Saturday night to preach. And he recorded some of the most horrible atrocities in his travels. Well, he arrived the evening before in Belfast, and immediately someone came to him and said, I hope you have a good sermon. It may be the last some of these men will ever hear. Sure enough, the pastor of the church met Barnhouse and said to him, I'm so glad I don't have to preach tonight. The church will be full of young lads who will never come back from the war. Well, Barnhouse preached that morning on Matthew chapter 24, the text we're working through. And he read there, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. And explaining the devastating horrors of the war, he said, "Millions of homes will be broken up. Do not be alarmed. Children will be torn from their mothers and represent all the wails that have ever been going up from all the world. Do not be alarmed." Jesus said, "Do not be alarmed." Well, about this time, the tension had grown in the church so much that monstrous grief had piled on over agonizing horror at this point. And Barnhouse stopped his message. And he paused with a pause, and he said, "These are either the words of a madman, or they are the words of God." He shook his fist towards heaven and cried, "God, unless Jesus Christ is God, these are the most horrible words that could be spoken to men who have hearts. Men are dying, do not be alarmed. Children are crying in misery with no beloved face in sight, do not be alarmed. How could Jesus say such a thing?" And Barnhouse, with our passage before him, comforted them with the words, "Jesus is God. He is the Lord of history. And there is nothing that has ever happened that is not under his sovereign control. Men kill and men hate one another, yet in the midst of history is Jesus Christ. And all of those who believe in him will know the resurrection and life, that nothing can separate us from the love of God." That is a wonderful, wonderful comfort for us, my friends. We are so in his hand that there's nothing, without his will, we cannot move or be moved. Not one hair can fall from our heads without it being his will. And so, whatever goes on in this world, whatever horrible atrocities we see, when it seems so unstable, Jesus is saying, "Do not be alarmed. He's in control." None of these things will somehow signal and say, "Oh, Christ is going to come." It will be in his timing. It will be at a day we do not expect. The world will go on, business as usual, seed time and harvest until the very end, when that day is appointed, when Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. So the question, my friends, is, have you repented and believed in Jesus? Have you trusted in him? Then you can have absolute certainty that whatever happens in this life, you are so completely in his hand that he will guide you and carry you through all the way to the end.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.